We are in our series, and our series is called, I Want to Leave Something Here. God wants us to leave something here. He wants us to have the abundant life right now. He desires that we each have a good life. Jesus said, I come to give you life, and that what? More abundantly. So the purpose for Jesus coming is so that you can have a good life now. Not abundant death, but abundant life. Streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearls, all that's fine. But what he really wants you to do is have an abundant life now. But not just have an abundant life now. He wants you to produce something with your life. And when Jesus spoke about this, he spoke of it as fruit. He says, I want you to produce fruit. Now, fruit is tasty. Fruit, his thought here is I want you to produce something that you can eat of now that is good for you and good to you. But also, not only will you produce it and eat of it yourself, but you will leave fruit here that will remain, stay, or that will have an eternal aspect to it. Not only are we to have something and enjoy life now, but after we're gone, we're supposed to leave something that has some eternalness to it. So, I want to show you this passage that I'm referencing here that Jesus said. It's in John chapter 15 and verse 16. And Jesus says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Now, leave that up there and let me talk. We've got that fixed so it can stay up there for you. And ordained you. And ordained you. There you go. And ordained you. Now, what does that mean? What ordained there means is I've appointed you. I've given you talents. I've given you abilities. I've given you grace giftings. I've chosen you. You haven't chosen me. I've chosen you and given you talents, abilities, ordained, maybe we could even say anointed you, so that you could do something. Now, what I want to say here is make sure we see it is you're not only saved from something, you're saved for something. In fact, you're saved for something more than you're saved from something. Here's what he goes on to say, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now the Greek word remain there is the Greek word the Greek word for remain there is the Greek word meno, M-E-N-O, and what it means is to stay. What Jesus is saying here is I want you to produce something that's very tasty to your life right now and that you can enjoy right now, but also something that will stay after you're gone. Something that will remain. Something that will be tasty to someone else after you're gone. Something that will remain after you are here. Something that will continue to produce the kingdom, that will produce life, that will produce blessings to others. I want to look at this verse as well from the NIV translation. That was King James. Same verse in the NIV translation says this. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last then. Now, if you're taking notes or if you've got your Bibles open or whatever that you might do, or if you're referencing that, what I want you to do is circle then. It's very, very important. See, what he's saying here is that if you will do what I've called and chosen and ordained you and appointed you to do, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Did you get that? If you are pursuing what you were chosen to do, if you are pursuing what God has ordained you to do and appointed you to do, then you can ask whatever you want in the name of Jesus and Father will do it. You see, a lot of times our prayers are not answered because we're not pursuing what we're supposed to be pursuing. We're not doing what we're chosen to do. So I want to encourage you, if life isn't good for you right now or maybe your prayers are not being answered the way that you feel they should be. What I want to encourage you to do is evaluate your life. Are you doing what God has called you to do? Now, how do I know, Delbert? How do I know? Well, he's given you gifts, like I just said. He's ordained you. He's appointed you. He's anointed you to do certain things. There are certain things you can do better than other people can do them. He's given you those gifts and talents. That's why he chose you. He made you like you are. You are fearfully and you're wonderfully made to do something. He saved you not just from something, but for something. So I want to encourage you, leave something here. Leave something here. Find it what it is that God wants you to do, and then go for it and leave something here. You will have a confidence in your prayer life, a confidence, Jesus says, that you can ask whatever you want, and God will do it for you. Now, in our series has been called, I Want to Leave Something Here, and we've been talking about different things that help us to do that. We talked about, I got to stop looking back. I got to take time to dance. I got to face my fears, talked about those things. And today what I want to talk about is changing from the inside out. We miss our short-term goals, and that causes us never to get to our long-term goals, oftentimes because of our external projection. Now let me explain what I'm trying to say. People have negative external projections. They have wrong motives. Their motives are to steal or to take from people or to use people or to abuse people. People have sour and bad attitudes. They go through life with a proverbial chip on their shoulder. You with me? These are external projections that cause us to fail. People stick their noses in other people's business. I know no one here has ever done anything like that. But, you know, some people talk a lot, you know, and they waggle their tongue. And they're always causing themselves trouble. And it seems about the time that they're about to get up and start doing something well and getting ahead in life, all of a sudden their tongue shows up. And down they go and have to start all over again. Or their attitude shows up. People go through life listening to wrong people, wrong teachings, hanging with wrong folk. People go through life watching wrong examples. And what God wants to do is change that, because those things are negative projections, negative external projections that are really coming from within, are they not? These are attitudes from within that come out and give negative projections about us to other people and cause us not to be successful in life, hindering and stopping our short-term and our long-term goals. Now, God wants to change that. God wants to change us from the inside out. He wants us to be people who have positive projections that can really accomplish something in life, leave fruit. Make fruit, produce fruit that remains. I was thinking about that this week, and there is a very popular television show, and it's called Extreme Makeovers. Have you seen it? How many seen Extreme Makeovers? Sure. Been on 3 years. Very, very popular show. And you know how it goes. You know, these people have applied, as it is, they're applicants who have applied, thousands and thousands of them. And so every show selects like two people that they have selected to go through the process of the extreme makeover. And of course, this includes cosmetic surgery, cosmetic dental work. It talks about nutrition. They bring in an extreme team, is what it's called. And they dress the person with designer stuff, you know, and get him in a weight room and start doing bodybuilding, and they change the external appearance of the person. And I really like it. Let me read to you a part from their website that I got this week. And participants on the Extreme Makeover show have breast augmentation, liposuction, nose jobs, brow lifts, eye surgery, chin augmentations, teeth whitening and straightening, lip enhancements with collagen injections, tummy tucks, upper and lower eye lifts, porcelain veneers and neck lifts. Wrinkles, too, are eliminated using Botox, skin peels, and laser treatments. Now, I think this is wonderful. I think it's wonderful that we now have technology to give the person the appearance that they desire to have. And watching the show from time to time, I literally have been put to tears watching someone who, let's say, is physically challenged in this way. really get a lift in life and project themselves with a confidence. And they strut out there, you know, and they're looking good. And they show you how to hold your hand on your head. And they, I mean, it is, you know, I like it. I think it's great. I really do. But, you know, I often wonder, I wish they would do a show and show it 6 months later. Or 12 months later. Did it become an eternal thing with them, or was it just an external thing? Because, see, nothing really externally is going to happen eternally until something internally happens. Did you get all of that? Nothing really is going to happen externally until something changes inside of them. If they still won't brush their teeth, they're still going to have rotten teeth, even if they've got veneers on. So what I'm trying to say is that something inside has to take place so that it will become externally eternal. And that's what God wants to do with us. So what I thought would be kind of fun today to do, talking about changing from the inside out, is tell you that God wants to give us an extreme makeover. And He wants all of us to change. I haven't met a person yet that was completely satisfied with their body. There was always something that they wanted adjusted or fixed. And we all have elements that we would like to see done a little bit better or look a little different. And it's that way in the spiritual dimension as well. We can all use some help inwardly, just like we do outwardly. Now, some of these things, though, are really, really detrimental to you leaving something here. So these are the things that I really want to talk about. Four or five things that I think God would want to include in your extreme makeover. So maybe you've got some, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures. So maybe you've got something you can write on and jot some things down, or maybe get the CD or the tape or whatever. But I think it'll be interesting to you to look at some of these things. So let's talk some. Let's talk what the Holy Spirit wants to do internally so that our external projections will be what God needs them to be so that we can truly leave something here. How about let's start with a tongue implant? A tongue implant. Do you need a tongue implant? Do you know someone who has an ugly tongue? A deformed tongue? A nasty tongue? They may need a tongue implant. Well, what God wants to do is cut that thing out. Let me show you. It's in Proverbs 10:31, and it says, "The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be cut out." Isn't that interesting? Now, we've all met people who had an ugly tongue. We've all met people who stuff come out of their mouth that was just nasty. And every time these people seem to be getting a little ahead, their tongue shows up. And people see the nasty tongue, and they lose their job, or they lose their family, or they lose their finances, and they find themselves at the bottom again and again and again. So what God wants to do is give them a tongue implant. See, your tongue causes you all kinds of problems. All kinds of problems. James gives a whole chapter just dedicated to the tongue, but I'm just going to get one verse from James chapter 3. And James chapter 3, verse 6 says this, "The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person." Now, what does that mean? It makes our entire lives a mess. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. God wants to give us a tongue implant. Now, I hope you understand that I'm really not talking about literally taking a knife and cutting out a tongue. I'm doing what Jesus did when Jesus taught extreme makeovers. Jesus taught changing from the inside out as well, and his lesson is very, very extreme. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 and 30, this is what he says. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. Now, of course, Jesus wasn't talking about literally gouging out eyes or cutting off hands. That's not what he's literally talking about. He is talking about the extreme work, though, that the Holy Spirit wants to do inside of us. If we're doing something that we need not do, then take extreme measures to fix it. If we're looking at things and watching things that we need not watch, then take extreme measures to fix it. Do an extreme makeover. Allow the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us to do something extreme within us so that we can change our external projections and have a successful life. Sometimes it requires a tongue implant. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. For whoever would love life and see good days must. Would you say must back to me? Must. Now what does must mean? There's no options, right? Must. Must keep his or her tongue from evil and lips from deceitful speech. What's this saying is that you have got to learn to control your tongue if you're going to have good days. Make a note. Watch people who are constantly having to start over again and again and again, and you'll find that their mouth is causing them problems. Their tongue is not held back. It's not controlled. God wants to give us the tongue of the learned. God wants to give us a tongue of understanding. And if you want good days, you must learn to control your tongue. Control your temper. Control what you say to people. You must learn to handle your tongue. Proverbs 21:23 says, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. Calamity is big trouble. I love what the New Living Translation says on this verse. If you keep your mouth shut, you will stay out of trouble. Your tongue causes you trouble. Your tongue causes you to miss God's purpose for your life. Your tongue will cause us never to acquire the life and really come to the place where we can leave something here. I want to talk about one more thing, though, about the tongue before I leave the thing about the tongue, the tongue extreme makeover part. There's a whole series on words, the power of words, and we get into this a whole lot deeper on that series, but one more thing on this. Mark chapter 11 and verse 23, Jesus is giving a teaching here actually about prayer. And what Jesus says here is this. I tell you the truth. Was Jesus trying to trick us here? No, this is the truth. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his or her heart, but believes that what he or she says will happen, it will be done for him or her. Jesus used his tongue to speak to things, to speak to obstacles. Jesus spoke to wind and waves. Jesus spoke to mountains. Jesus spoke to trees. Jesus spoke to ears and to eyes and told them to be open. Jesus was so into the will of the Father and doing what he was chosen and called to do that whatever he asked, God did it. When we are walking in our purpose, we can speak to mountains, speak to obstacles. And Jesus says, they'll move. You see, he's really teaching here about prayer. Prayer isn't only asking for things. Prayer, Jesus says, is commanding things to happen. Prayer is using your tongue and the power of it to move obstacles out of our life. And if we're really going to live a successful life, we've got to learn to do that. To what are you speaking? What obstacles are you facing? Are you just praying and asking God to move it? Are you commanding it to move? There is a power in our tongue that we have not yet grasped and understood. This whole creation was spoken into existence. There's a power in words that you can create your world with. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will, look at this, eat its fruit. Now what that means is you can partake of a great life. You can not only eat of a great life yourself, but you can also leave something here that others can eat of as well. So if we're going to have a life that really matters and leave something that really matters, and if we're going to do what the Bible says to do and Jesus wants us to do, then sometimes we've got to have a tongue implant. Let's do another one. How many need a nose job? You know where I'm going now, right? Have you ever met nosy people? You know, I was thinking about it. Where do we get terms like this? You know, I when I'm writing this stuff, I'm thinking, now where did that term come up? A nosy person. Did they just have a large nose? I mean, I think it came up when a person who has the ability to find a trail to slander and gossip and backbiting and those kinds of things, when you associate those with a hound dog. You know, a hound dog can get on a trail and just follow that trail until it gets... I think that nosy people are like that. They have this knack for finding a trail and finding where that gossip is, or where that slander is, or where they can stick their nose into someone else's business and meddle. When you do that, people don't like you. They don't respect you. They don't want you around. Because all you're going to do when they find out something about you is you're going to tell it to someone else. And when you get around people who can really help your life and bless your life, but yet they know you're a nosy person, they're not going to help you. Let's look at a few scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 says this, make it your ambition. Now, I like that. You know, make it your ambition. In other words, be ambitious about this. And if you're a nosy person, this is to you. You know, make it an ambition. Be ambitious about stop being nosy. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands. Now, that was interesting to me. As you look at busybodies, what these people do is they don't work. They get so into running down the trail to gossip and slander and getting into your business that they don't take care of their own business. And to work with your hands just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of others. And so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Win the respect of others. A nosy person becomes so interested in someone else's business that they fail to take care of their own business. And they won't even work. They're gossips and they're busybodies. And people don't respect them. It's a sure way to fail. It is a sure way to fail because people don't want you around. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12 says this, yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives. Now, you got to remember now, Paul is writing this to Christians. He's writing this to a church. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and wasting time meddling in other people's business. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we appeal to such people. No, we command them, settle down. In other words, stop it and get to work. Earn your own living. We waste our own lives sticking our noses in other people's business. When we're tending someone else's business, it simply means we are not tending our own. And if you're tending someone else's and not tending your own, how are you going to be successful? So Paul says, stop worrying about others. These people, nosy people, people that need nose jobs. They cause quarrels. They are constantly stirring up people. They are constantly getting people angry at them and at each other. They're constantly causing problems. And people get angry at them. Here's what Proverbs 26:17 says. Like one who seizes a dog by the ears is a passerby who meddles in a quarrel, not his own. Have you ever grabbed a dog's ears and pinched them? What would that dog do? The dog will bite you. And what the Bible is saying here is when you're a meddler and a busybody, it's like doing that to people. They are going to turn on you. They don't want you around. They want to bite you. You're not respected. No one wants you around. So if you really want to fail in life, be a busybody. Talk about people. Slander them. But if you want to have a successful life, and you want to have a life that matters, and you want to leave something here, allow the Spirit of God to give you a nose job so that you can mind your own business and not mind someone else's. Let's do another one. How about ear augmentation? Need ear augmentation. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. He says, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears." Do you know people that refuse to listen to good counsel? The Bible relates them to a child who is rebellious and won't listen to their parents. They're set off for a life of disaster. A child who is rebellious is going to be rebellious all through life. A child who won't listen to their parents is not going to listen to anyone all through life. And so the Bible relates our not listening to good counsel and to people that we should be listening to a child in rebellion. Proverbs 1:8 and 9 says this, "Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teachings. They will be a garland to grace your head, and a chain to adorn your neck." Now, what does that mean? What he's saying here is you will have a decorated life. If you can properly hear and properly receive instructions and have an ear augmentation, then and you start hearing well, then your life will be a decorated life. It'll be a beautiful life. It'll be an ordained life. You will have nice things. But if you refuse, the other way around. Now, I know, I want to just take a moment here, children, young people. I know you know more than your mom and dad does. I know that. I did too when I was your age. But let me tell you something about your mom and dad. They love you. And they have probably done exactly what you're trying to do right now, which is trick your mom and dad. Do things behind their back. Outsmart them. See, they know. They know what you're doing. I want to give you a word of caution. You better listen to your dad. You better listen to your mom, or you're going to have a bad life. But if you will listen to them, then you're going to have a good life. And you're going to set a path for victory. You're going to set a path for having a life that really means something. A fruitful life. A life that tastes good. A life that looks good. A decorated life. A great life. Some of us really do need our ears augmented, don't we? Proverbs 16:20 says, "Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers. And blessed is he or she who trusts in the Lord." Prospers. If you want to prosper in life, you've got to learn to listen. You've got to learn to receive instructions. You've got to listen to people who God has put around your life to give you instruction. Jesus was constantly telling people to be careful to what they listen. Constantly. Here's what he says in Mark 4:24. "Consider carefully what you hear." And look at this. He continued. "With the measure you use." Now let's stop right there and leave that up there for me. "With the measure you use." The measure of what? It's important. Pardon? measure you hear. The measure of the ability that you have to hear, with the measure you use, with the same measure that you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Okay. Be careful what you hear. To whom are you listening? Who is teaching your life? What are your friends saying? Whatever you're listening, to whatever you're listening is coming into you, and it is directly connected with your success in life. You get around people who do not have vision and don't want to do anything with their life, they're not talking about that. They're talking about doing dumb stuff. They're talking about not doing anything. And that's exactly what you're going to get out of life. It will be measured to you then. But if you get around people that really want to prosper and go somewhere in life, and that's what they're talking about, then that gets into you as well. Position yourself around people that talk about doing something with their lives. Position yourself around people who talk about going someplace. Because that's the measure that it will get into you. You're in school, you're in class, just use it. If you listen to the teacher, if you listen to the instructor, you're going to do well in class. You're going to do well in school. And every test that comes along, you're going to pass. But if you're not listening, and you're cutting up in class, and you're playing, and you're talking and playing with the friends who aren't listening either, you're going to fail. Listen, life is exactly that way. You listen to the proper instruction, you're going to pass life. You're going to have a good life. Every test that comes along, you will excel. But if you're hanging with people that don't care, you're back there in the back corner cutting up with your friends and your buddies who don't care, then you're going to have a life that's not going to be successful. Because the measure that you hear determines the measure of success in your life. People need ear augmentations. To whom are you listening? Jesus not only talked about it, this was really interesting to me as I saw this years ago. Jesus not only talked about what you hear, but how you hear. This was interesting to me. Look at Luke 8:18. It says that therefore consider carefully how you listen. And again, whoever has will be given more. Whoever has what? It's important. Whoever has the ability to hear well. Whoever has this ability to hear well, then you're going to get more. But if you don't have the ability to hear well, whatever that you think you have will be taken away. Is that right? How you hear. I have, you know, doing what I do and being strange like I am, I have a lot of people come in here with preconceived ideas, whether it be theology or about life or whatever. And, you know, I'm up here talking about things like this and, you know, trying to give biblical stuff. And yet they've got their preconceived ideas and they totally miss because they don't know how to hear. They miss the doctrine. They miss the truth. They miss the emphasis of it. And so they miss what God wants to do in their life. How you hear is so important. What teachers you listen to, how you hear them, have objective ears. Have ears that hear. Have ears that aren't already set. Let your ears be augmented. Proverbs 13:13 says, "He who scorns instructions will pay for it, but he who respects a command is rewarded." How you hear, what you hear, determines the rewards of life. This past week, I was getting a haircut, and the woman who cuts my hair has two children, and her son is in high school. And he's beginning to ask a lot of questions about God. And so she knows that I'm a preacher, so she asked me, she says, he's asking questions like, why doesn't angels come and talk to people today? Why doesn't God talk to people like he talked to them in the Bible? And I just sit there. And unless somebody really forces me on an issue like this, I really don't want to comment. And she says, "Do you have any thoughts on this?" And I said, "Oh yeah, I got a few." She said, "Well, will you help me?" I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, when the Bible talks about angels," I said, "if you look up the word for angels in the Greek, it's the Greek word agalos, and it means messenger. The Bible never refers to angels with wings or feathers. Now, it does cherubim, but not angels. Angels usually are in context with men. In Genesis chapter 18, Abraham looks out from his tent and he sees three men coming. One of these turns out to be the Lord, and two of them are angels. What am I trying to say? And what he does with them, he sets them, he sits down with them, and he has a meal with them. What am I trying to say? When God shows up in your life and speaks to you, it's going to look like a man or a woman. It's going to come through a person. Let me carry this just a little bit further. I know this is bouncing around the room a little bit, but if you don't get it, just say, "Bless his heart. He's doing the best he can." You know, don't get mad at me. Just put it on the shelf. And the book of Revelation, John is instructed to write a letter to the seven, write letters to the seven churches that are in Asia. But what's interesting about this is he's instructed to write to the angel of the church at Ephesus or Sardis or, right, Philadelphia or Laodicea. Write to the angel of the church at. And so every letter is addressed to an angel. And again, that word means messenger. Now, if someone were to write a letter here to our church, the way we are set up, then it would come first to me and then to our elders. That's the way we govern. But if some churches have deacons or however they govern themselves, but it wouldn't do a lot of good, would it, to send a letter to an angel up in heaven somewhere if he wanted to fix a church? But if you send it to the messenger and the message changed. In the 19th chapter and in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, John sees an angel and he falls at the angel's feet and begins to worship. And the angel says, "Worship me not, for," here's why, "I am a fellow brethren of yours, and I have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Angels have brothers. Do angels have a testimony of Jesus Christ? Do they need it? I'll give you one more and then I'll make my point. In the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter, there's a war in heaven. And the war is between Michael and his angels and the dragon and his angels. And the Bible says is that Michael and his angels overcame the dragon and his angels by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and by not loving their lives unto death. Do angels need the blood of the Lamb? Do we? Do angels need a word of their testimony? Do we? Can angels die? My point is, I still hear God today just like he showed up in the Bible. Because I have ears to hear and I have eyes to see. I have allowed God to give me an ear augmentation because I know that it's through people that God speaks to me. Now, he speaks to me through his word. He speaks to me in prayer. He speaks to me out of the Spirit. But God speaks to me through angels. My brethren, those with the testimony of Jesus Christ, those that overcome the dragon with the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony by not loving their lives unto death. So what I'm trying to say to you is that we've got to learn to hear the Spirit. What is the Spirit saying? Not get our preconceived ideas about anything, but learn how to hear and what to hear. That's what the book of Revelation talks about. The book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 7, and this is repeated kind of like this seven times, but just using one of them. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life. Please notice that eating the fruit from the tree of life is directly connected with having an ear to hear the Spirit. And we'll have the paradise of God. You can have a life like a paradise if you'll get an ear augmentation. You can partake of the goodness of the tree of life. Have a life that is so fulfilling, so tasty, if you will have an ear to hear what the Spirit says. Some of us really need ear augmentations. Learn to hear what to hear and how to hear. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do to us. An extreme makeover. Let's do another one. LASIK eye surgery. The Holy Spirit wants to help us have vision so that we can see. Here's what Jesus said again in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, 22 through 23. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, Jesus isn't talking about light bulbs. What Jesus is talking here about your vision of life. If your vision of life is good, you're following people with vision, you're listening to people with vision, you're pursuing what God's called and chosen you to do, your life is good. All of it. You're full of light. You're full of vision. But if you don't have vision, and you don't allow the Spirit of God to speak to you and people to speak into your life, and you don't know how to hear or what to hear, or you're talking and sticking your nose in other people, and you're doing all of these other things, and you're not allowing the vision of God to be what fills your life, how dark is your life? How great is that darkness? And what you find yourself doing is following blind people. And Jesus said, and I happen to have the scripture for you, if the blind follow the blind, what happens? They both fall in the ditch. Matthew 15, 14. Let them alone, Jesus said. One version says, leave them. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees here. He says, they're not going anywhere. They don't have a vision. They don't have a vision for the kingdom. They don't have a vision for what God really wants to do. They have a big vision for external changes, not internal changes. And he says, leave them alone. Find somebody to follow and listen to and talk to that's got vision. Don't follow blind people, because if you do, you're just going to fall in a ditch. As detrimental as blurred vision or cataracts or blindness is in the natural to get where you want to go, it's worse in the spiritual. It's worse in your life. If you really want to accomplish something, it's worse. You will never get there. There's a ditch waiting for you. Don't follow the blind. Follow somebody that's going somewhere. Talk to people that are going somewhere. Hang around people that have a vision for life and let them lead you. Let them become your examples. Proverbs 4:25 says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. We've already talked about that. Don't look back. Don't put your hands to the plow and look back. You make sure you're always focusing forward. That's where God wants you to go. He's got a great life ahead for you. He wants you to have clear vision. How is your vision? Where are you going? Do you know? Are you falling in ditches? Are you on a trail somewhere? Is your life full of vision? Or are there just a lot of ditches? The problem is you're following the wrong people. You're listening to the wrong people. Hanging with the wrong people. You need LASIK spiritual eye surgery. The Holy Spirit wants to work on us. God wants you to have vision so you can have understanding. In Ephesians 1:18 it says, the eyes of your understanding. Did you know your understanding has eyes? Your understanding has eyes. And if your understanding is closed off, you're not seeing it. But if your understanding is open, look what happens. Let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know. You start knowing stuff. You may know what is the hope of your calling. Why has He called you? Because in that hope of your calling also lies the riches of the glory of His inheritance. There's a richness for you. There's an inheritance for you. But you have to have eyes of understanding. Eyes of the learned. Eyes that are focused forward. And allowing the Holy Spirit to do LASIK eye surgery on us. I got time to talk about one more. Now I think that there's a lot of other things that we could do here. But one more. Let's talk about chest enhancement. Oh, it got quiet. I thought you guys would... That's a big one today. Oh, that was not... That was the bad way to say it. And everybody here knows I'm not going to talk about what you think or fear I might talk about, right? But there is something about our chest that God really wants to change. And it's our heart. And it's not just a little surgery, although He does want to circumcise the heart. But what He really wants to do is transplant the heart. It's extreme what He wants to do. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart, from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. One day Jesus was disputing with the religious people. And what the dispute was about is Jesus and His disciples had sat down to eat and they had not ceremonially washed their hands. Now, they had washed their hands to eat, but they had not gone through the ceremonial exterior washing. And so they were making a big issue of this. And Jesus says, you guys are so messed up. You're so into the external that you don't understand that really what God does is change us from the inside out. And here's what Jesus said to that. You know, and a lot of religion is that way. It's external. You know, and so don't get me wrong when I say this, but even in Catholicism, you know, it's all external. Holy water and garments and vestments. And all of those things mean something. So don't mishear what I'm saying. But if nothing internally changes, you'll still abuse young boys. Here's what Jesus said, Mark 7:20-23. And then He added, It is the thought life that defiles you. It's the thought life that messes your life up. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, eagerness for lustful pleasure, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you. They are what mess your life up and make you unacceptable to God. In other words, they make you so that God cannot bless you. They make you miss life's purpose. Make you miss life's goals. See, our hearts keep us from God's best. From them come these things. What has happened is sin has deformed our hearts, made our hearts ugly, even to God. Sin comes and it causes an ugliness and a distorted heart and a warped heart. And then externally, we begin to project all this stuff. It comes from within, Jesus said. See, if you change the heart or allow the Holy Spirit to, because you can't, but if you allow the Holy Spirit to change your heart, your whole life will change. It's a serious, extreme makeover. And when I see people's lives who don't change, who call themselves Christians, I wonder. What is within you? What is within you that God is working on right now? Something's inside. Like I said earlier, we've all got things externally that we wish maybe we could have some cosmetic things done to. Dress a little different, a little nicer, or build up a little bit better, or you know, lose a little weight, but cosmetically maybe fix our natural nose. You know, something. But internally there's something as well. Internally, God is working on something. What is He working on in you? My encouragement to you today is let Him go. The faster, give Him the scalpel. Say, work on me, Lord. Circumcise my heart. Do what you need to do in me. Because as soon as He can get it cut out of you and fix you, you can get healed and go on with your life. The quicker, the better. Don't fight with Him. Let Him work on you. Because, see, that's where He wants to work, is within. Finish it up with this little story. Jesus one day was debating again with the religious Pharisees. And they demanded, the Bible says of Him, when would the kingdom come? No, if you're the Christ, if you who you say you are, then you will know when the kingdom's going to come. They demanded of Him. And He just, you know, you could just see Him shaking His head, that you guys will never get it. You're looking for this external kingdom to come and fix everything for you. You're looking for an external kingdom to come to change your life. He says, it doesn't work that way. That's not the way God's kingdom. And let me tell you something. A lot of people today are still looking for the same thing. They're looking for Jesus to come again and fix everything. It's not going to work that way. He's coming again. Got to make sure I'm right here. He's coming again. Don't hear me wrong. But what He really wants to do is fix you inside out. Because that's where His kingdom really is. Let me show you. Luke chapter 17, 20 and 21 says, "And when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation.'" It's not coming externally. "Neither shall they say, 'Here or there,'" you know. It's not coming to Israel first, and it's going to come to America. "Behold," what does that mean? Eye opener. Ear opener. Mouth shutter. Why did God give us two ears and one mouth? "Behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. Within you. Within you. Changing you from the inside out." See, when you come to Jesus, the Bible says you are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. What that means is the kingdom of God comes in you and begins to transform you. Translate you into a kingdom. The Bible says that if you are born again, you can begin to see this thing. The Bible says that if you are born of the Spirit and water, you'll begin to enter this thing. What's God doing in you? He wants to bless your life. He wants to change you from the inside out. If you will let Him, then you will be changed and you will really leave something here. I mean, is ready for an extreme makeover? Man, would you raise your hand if you want to let the Holy Spirit work in you? Would you give the Lord a shout and a hand clap?